We're in the book of Matthew this morning, and Matthew chapter 23, and I realize the passage of Scripture that we're dealing with here is from the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a harsh rebuke of the religious crowd, and generally you wouldn't look to this passage of Scripture for application to the lives of people that are children of God, that are saved, Matthew chapter 23. However, there are things in here that the Lord Jesus Christ says to the Pharisees that are worthy of note. In other words, we need to examine ourselves with regard to what we're reading here, because these things that we're seeing are things that describe a Pharisee. And the question, I realize I'm looking around here at presumably the church is filled with the children of God, those that are saved. There may be somebody here this morning who's not saved. And I realize that, but the question is this. The question we need to ask ourselves is this. Are you a Pharisee? That's the question. I mean, and it's not a bad idea for us to look at that, because you can see here that Jesus Christ did not think very highly of Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23, what we'll do, I was thinking about reading the whole passage and then going back through and studying it, but I think better we'll read it by sections, and that way we can digest in each section something about a Pharisee that would not be approved by the Lord in our lives. But before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We need help. We need help for two reasons. Father, I need help to preach this message so that it's beneficial to us. I really do. And in order for that to happen, Father, you must please fill me with your Holy Spirit so that your Spirit in me can speak to the Spirit of God in these with the words of God, so that the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God will be manifest for the sake of edifying your dear saints, while at the same time bringing glory to you. So pray for that. I pray, Father, also that you will give us the ability to listen, to apply our hearts to what we're hearing today. And show us, Father, if there's something going on in our lives that's similar to what we see in the life of these Pharisees that you don't like and you want us to change, then I'm asking you, please, to help us to hear from you and recognize this passage, whichever one it is in this chapter, is directed to me, and that I need to heed the words of God and make the changes so that before the Lord God, I'm not a hypocrite and I'm not a Pharisee. And I'm asking you, Father, for us to be able to have the courage to allow your Holy Spirit to search us and see if there be any wicked way in us so that we can make those changes. And we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, how was Jesus Christ's attitude toward the Pharisees? It wasn't very good. And the attitude of the Pharisees toward Jesus Christ was not good. And so when we go through this passage of Scripture, we recognize, and you'll see that particularly when we get to verse 23, that the people he's talking to, and on down to verse 33, you're going to see that the people he's talking to are lost. And if you're here, saved here today, you say, well, then none of this would apply to me. But their conduct is a conduct that we can carry over into Christianity. And if we do that, then it's going to be a problem because of the relationship that you see that Jesus Christ had with Pharisees here. So we've got to be careful not to be Pharisees with regard to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what constitutes a Pharisee is going to be disclosed in this passage of Scripture, and we're going to see it. And the question we ought to be asking ourselves, or the statement we ought to be making, is this. You are a Pharisee if. You are a Pharisee if. Let's read verse 1, Matthew chapter 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to the disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say, and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Now watch. This is the verse, verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. So these are things that were part of their attire, if you will. And they made sure that their attire was such that if they needed broad borders, then they enlarged the borders. If they needed phylacteries, then they enlarged the phylacteries. So it was evident that those things could be seen. Watch it. All their works they do for to be seen of men. You're a Pharisee if you exalt men above God. See, their concern should not at all have been to be seen by men. When Jesus Christ is preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, now look, when you pray, go into a closet and pray there. Because the Pharisees are praying so that they can be seen of men to pray. When you give, do it in such a way that even your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. Because the others give their alms so that they can gain the accolades of men. That's a temptation. To be seen of men, that's a temptation of men. When I went to high school, I was in a boarding school, and the publication from the school was paper. I mean, it came to us like a newspaper. And as the school gained larger and larger endowments and more givers, the magazine got slicker and slicker and slicker. And then the categories that were, the names that were given to the givers' categories got slicker and slicker and slicker. And so when people are big donors, they got write-ups, or they got, you know, preeminent places in the back of the school magazine for being, you know, founders donors or platinum givers or whatever. And that's the nature of men. I'm going to give you a bigger title and bolder print and a more special table at the event if you give more money. And all of that motive, all of that is built around this one thing. In our flesh, we are aware of other people. And when we become Pharisees, listen, we do what we do to be seen of men. And when you do that, you exalt the approval of men above the approval of God. You exalt men above God. It becomes more important to you what men say about you than what God thinks about you. And so you know you have this temptation if you are different here than you are out there. Because here you know that there are people who can see your phylacteries and the borders of your garments. And so if you have a church life that is one way, and a social life or a home life that's another way, that's a Pharisee. You say, well, I don't like the direction of this message at all. Oh, it gets better. You say, well, I couldn't dare live in church what I live at home. Then one of those needs to change. I've told people before, if you're a scoundrel at home, just come to church and be a scoundrel. We don't need any more scoundrels. We got plenty, but... But the point is, when you're real, the preaching of the Word of God can get to your heart and your mind. And it can change you at home and at church. But if you are a saint at church and a scoundrel at home, your family knows that. And perhaps there are some other people that know that. And we've done a lot of public ministry talking to people about the Lord. And they say, I would go to church, but there are too many hypocrites in the church. Now, where did they ever get that idea? Probably because they understand hypocrisy, probably because they live the life of a hypocrite. I used to go, oh, yeah, but our church is a little different. I don't do that anymore. I said, there are a lot of hypocrites that don't go to church, too. Give them a little smile and let them know. Yeah, everybody too can play this game. Now, what you're doing when you are more aware of what men think about you than what God thinks about you, you have exalted men above God, and that's what a Pharisee does. And some of us, you know, we say, well, we were people pleasers. All right, then there needs to be a change. Become a God pleaser. Well, what if the people aren't pleased? They weren't pleased with Jesus Christ. A lot of them aren't pleased with God. They probably won't all be pleased with you, but that's okay. At least you'll be in good company. And you won't be a Pharisee. You won't be knowing in your heart that you're putting on airs because other people are watching. Okay, so you know that that's what's going on in the life of a Pharisee. And ultimately, I want to say it again, you have exalted men above God. It is more important to you that you gain men's approval than you gain God's approval. You do not want to live there as a Christian. That's a miserable place to live. Keep reading in the passage. Look in verse 6. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts and chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Number two, you are a Pharisee if you exalt yourself above your brethren. If you exalt yourself above the brethren. And now listen, you don't. These guys were doing it publicly. These guys were doing it publicly. But you can do it privately. You can walk in and just think you are the gift, you know, God's gift to the church. If it wasn't for me, this thing just couldn't even function right. And you say, well, people don't think like that. Well, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They really do. And here he says, you know, that what they have done is they exalt himself. That's what he says in verse 12. Whosoever shall exalt himself. You know, the Lord said to his disciples, he said, I'm going to teach you something in John chapter 13, and I want you to understand how it's going to go for you from here out. You have traveled with me for 3.5 years. I mean, he didn't go through this lengthy dissertation I'm going to give you right now, but he said, you've traveled with me for 3.5 years. Everybody knows that you are my teacher's pets, you know. Everywhere I've sent you out, you guys have the miracles. You guys can prophesy. You guys can teach. They know you've been traveling with me. We're in real special company. He said, so before I go to my cross, I need to demonstrate something for you. He takes off, you know, the outer garments and he girds himself with a towel and he goes down there and he's washing their feet. This is God manifest in the flesh and he's washing the nasty feet of his disciples. I mean, if you've ever worn sandals in a place like Uganda, you know how nasty your feet look and smell and everything else. Or a place like Georgia where the clay is reddish. I mean, I'm just talking about something other than a sandy beach. You come looking at that, you go, boy, that's nasty. You just walk 10 miles in sweaty sandals that you've been wearing for the last 3 years. And you got the picture? And so the Lord, you know, goes down there and he's washing. Peter says, you're not going to wash my feet. You know, because he looks at that and he says, there's just no way God manifests in the flesh washing my feet. And he said, what I'm doing right now, you don't get, but you're going to get it. And the point that he made was this. If you're going to be doing something great for me down here, you are going to have to serve. You're going to have to serve. And there are a lot of people that don't like that service category. They want to be somebody. You know, one of the temptations among people that do what I do is to go get a doctorate degree by hook or by crook so you can have the initials on the back of your name. People will call me sometimes. We've met and they say, well, what do people call you? I say, well, my mother calls me Bevins. Yeah, but what am I supposed to call you? Pastor or rabbi or master? And I said, well, some people call me Pastor Bevins and some people call me Pastor Welder and some people call me Bevins. And I have a friend of mine that calls me B-Dub. And my mother calls me, she used to call me Bevo. I said, I'm not, it's not about the title with me. Now I realize, and I stop here to interject this, it is very helpful for your children growing up to recognize that that there's a pastor. Okay, it's important for them to understand that. So in the Sunday school classes, they teach children to refer to the pastors of the church as pastor and, you know, mother and father in the proper context, because there's so much temptation today to put down authority. So, you know, we do it for that sake, but it's for the sake of this continuity with God, so that they will look to the Bible as authoritative, look to God as authoritative, and recognize that He has people here that He uses to be a help. But those things don't mean much to me. People say, well, they've said to me, what should we call you? I said, well, if you read in there, they call Paul, Paul. And he called Peter, Peter. I mean, so to me, the title should be not something that puts a separation between us, so that I'm the guy that, if it weren't for me, we just wouldn't have a church here. No, if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for the Word of God, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have a church here. But you want to see how things go, God could knock me off in the middle of this message and put somebody else up here and everything run just fine. And I believe that. I really, really, really do. And so we have to be careful. One of us in here is not exalted above the brethren. You know, they already do that in other churches, where the guy that's up here wears a robe, or he wears something that distinguishes him as the man of God. Listen, if I have to wear a robe to be distinguished as the man of God, something is way wrong with my relationship with the Lord. Really and truly. We have had people that have served in the church over the years who got into a position in the church, and they did it to exalt themselves above their brethren. And the position they had became more about them than it did about God, and more about them than it did about the church. That is disastrous. It's disastrous. And the reason is that now you are somebody because you have something to do for God. No, you are somebody because you are saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ made that so clear to His disciples. He said, they're at the temple, and a widow comes in and puts two mites in the treasury and said, who's given the greatest gift? And they're like, I don't know. Let me see who seems to have the biggest wallet. And he says, that woman right there, she did. She only put in two mites. And she did obviously not do anything to try to impress anybody else with that. But she didn't exalt herself. The other guys were. And the Lord does not like that at all. That's a Pharisee. Look at verse 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering it to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one, what's the next word? Proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You know what a proselyte is? A proselyte is somebody that has converted to another religion, basically. Or converted to a religion. In other words, when we're talking with people about the Lord Jesus Christ, let's say that we run into somebody that was raised like I was, who's Catholic. And they'll say, well, where do you pastor? I'm Pastor Bible Believers Baptist Church. Oh, you're a Baptist. Immediately what is in their mind is that the conversation we're about to have is a comparison or a difference between the Baptist religion and the Catholic religion. And their concern is that I might be trying to proselyte them or bring them to the Baptist religion. Jehovah's Witnesses are a perfect example. Mormons are a perfect example. They are trained to then compare the religions and show how what they do in Jehovah's Witness is better than what you did in Catholicism. And they play on the ignorance of those who are in the other religion. So when the Lord says here, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, what they've done is they have exalted their religion above God's kingdom. You're a Pharisee if you exalt men above God. If you exalt yourself above the brethren, Jesus says, ye are brethren. And if you exalt your religion above God's kingdom, you're a hypocrite. You say, well, we wouldn't do that. People do it all the time. Cain was the first one that did it. Cain offered a sacrifice before Abel offered a sacrifice. And he offered that sacrifice to God. He exalted that religion. And God says, I don't accept your religious sacrifice. You want to offer something that I accept? Do what Abel did. And what did Cain do? He killed, right? He killed Abel. Back in the years of the Crusades, remember the Crusades? Did you study any history? You know about the Crusades? When there was a desire to spread religion by the sword. Then they went out and started slaying people by the millions. You ever heard of the Inquisition? If you haven't heard about these things, the Crusades and the Inquisition, you ought to read about that. You know what those are? Those are hypocrites who are using a religious method to make proselytes. And they exalt that religion above God's kingdom. You know how we, you know how you are to bring, or how Jesus brings more folks into the body of Christ? Not with a sword. How does he bring them? By the new birth. By faith in Jesus Christ. Who took the sword? Jesus did. They pierced him in the side. So when you hear things like, I just have to make this comment. We really are talking about ourselves here. But you have going on nonstop a dialogue to convince you that the spread of Islam is peaceful. And for many of Muslims that are in that religion, they do not want to fight, just like there were many in the Catholic religion that did not want to fight in order to spread their religion. That wasn't their agenda. I realize that. But the tenets of that religion to spread are to take a sword to infidels so that this becomes the dominant religion. Do you understand? All of these attempts, Crusades, Inquisition, Jihad, all of those are to establish that kingdom of religion on earth. Are we together? All right, so when your way of worshiping God is right to the exclusion of all others, that's what Pharisees do. That's what Pharisees do. You know what we are to be? Simply those who believe this book is true and live by what it says. Here's another one. Verse 16. Woe unto you, you blind guys, which say, whoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. You fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by the things, all things thereon. Whoso swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. He that shall swear by the heaven, sweareth by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. you blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Boy, what a picture. Can you imagine somebody trying to swallow a camel? You know what's going on in this section here? You exalt the temporal over the eternal. That's what a Pharisee does. A Pharisee exalts the temporal over the eternal. The Pharisees were saying in verse 16, we're swearing by the gold of the temple. You know what the Lord was saying? You need to swear by the God of the temple. They were swearing by the gift on the altar. He said you ought to swear by the altar and by the temple and by him that dwelleth therein. The whole idea was there is something going on with the temple that has absolutely nothing to do with gold. It has absolutely nothing to do with the gift. It has absolutely nothing to do with you. It has absolutely nothing to do with this tithe and minute and anise and cumin that you are putting in. It has everything to do with the God that is there and with judgment, mercy, and faith. You know what happens is they start emphasizing the temporal over the eternal. That's what a Pharisee does. What is the temporal? It's the stuff down here that doesn't matter. It's the stuff that's here today and goes away tomorrow, rather than the eternal, which is here forever. What does a Pharisee do? A Pharisee exalts the temporal, those things that are earthly, over those things that are heavenly that he cannot see. That's what these guys did. You say, but Christians don't do that. They do that all the time. What happens is the work becomes successful and then the work becomes more about the work and less about the God who established the work. You know, it starts out with just preaching Jesus Christ and seeing souls saved and discipling people and causing them to grow, and then it's about this kingdom that we've built. We see this a lot of times when we're dealing with missionaries that write. God sends a person over there, and the person he sent him over there to go and lead souls to Jesus Christ, teach them the Bible, watch God call them to preach and see them grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then reproduce. And then pretty soon they have concerns for a piece of land, and then for a building, and then for a camp, and all of a sudden it's now about all this great concept of being able to build this wonderful monument to my existence here. That's what a Pharisee does. And we have to be careful about those kinds of things right here. God has blessed us. But it's not about what you see. It's about what you don't see. And we have to be careful about that. A Pharisee will exalt the temporal over the eternal. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. This sounds an awful lot like where we started. And there we said you exalt men over God. Well, that has to do with what you're doing that other men can see. Here, Jesus Christ says to the Pharisees, you're like whited sepulchres. You're like these beautiful, you know, if you drive by a graveyard, sometimes, depending on where it is, it can be one of the most, it's like a city park. It's beautiful. The headstones are all lined up. You ever been to Arlington Cemetery or any type of a Veterans Memorial Cemetery? I mean, everything is so well kept, you forget that there are people who died, in many cases, violent deaths in warfare that are lying in those tombs. And so you look at it, and what you see is, boy, isn't this beautiful? And people will come from thousands of miles away to see these things. I've seen the Veterans Cemetery, the American Cemetery in the Philippines, spectacular. And it's all like a museum, the way that they have chronicled with mosaics, the progress of the Pacific War in World War II. It's just an amazing thing as you go through the various chambers that surround the central part of that cemetery. We've been to the D-Day American cemetery there that was in Normandy. It's a beautiful place, beautiful. But you know what's in there? People that died, and I mean screaming, hollering, maimed bodies with bombs and guns, and you don't see any of that. You don't see any of it. And Jesus says here to these Pharisees, he says, you're blind because you got the outside of the cup and platter clean, but the inside is full of extortion. The inside is full of excess. The inside is full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. You know what that is? This is in your relationship to God. A Pharisee exalts the outside over the inside. In the first case, we said you exalt men above God. That is, when you're around men, you're more concerned what they think than what God thinks. This is when you're not around men. It's just between you and God. And somehow or another, you think you can impress God with the way you are doing your Christian life. And God says, I see some things going on inside of you, and they are nasty. And you are not the least bit concerned about making those changes because somehow or another you think that I'm impressed with the way you look on the outside. And God says, I'm not impressed with that at all. This is the place where between you and the Lord, you have to get really honest with God and realize that there are things inside of you that need to change. And when you think those things inside of you don't need to change and God thinks those things inside of you do need to change, you're a Pharisee. That's where these guys were. They were standing right in front of God manifest in the flesh who could see in the inside. And he says, I'm looking inside of there and I don't like what I'm looking at. Now David knew this. David said in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and try my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, God is not as impressed with you as you are with yourself. And if you and I are ever going to get past this problem with being a Pharisee, those things on the inside have to change. The outside will take care of itself. And now I'll tell you something. Jesus Christ in this passage of Scripture in a minute here is getting ready to tell them, you're just like your fathers who killed the prophets. What he's basically saying is, you're getting ready to kill me. And they did. But they denied it. He called the hand on it in John chapter 7. They said, who goeth about to kill thee? Thou hast a devil. And later on, the people who hear this interchange saying, These are the guys that want to kill him. Does he know they want to kill him? They knew what was going on. The only ones who didn't seem to know what was going on are the ones who were guilty of that. And that's what he's getting ready to pin them about here. I'm going to tell you something. God knows something that's going on inside of every single one of us in this room right now that he doesn't like. And the question is whether you're going to change it or not. Or whether you're going to pass it off and come before the Lord like this. You know, because everybody in here prays at some point. And probably, you know, every day he's going, oh God, I'm so glad to come before you today, oh God. And he's over there going, yeah, what stinks? Whew. Is it you? Oh God, I lift my hands up to you in the mighty, holy, glorious, wonderful name of, I know who I am. Fix that. Really, you know what he wants? What he really wants to do? He says, cut out all the nonsense. Look at me. Let me fix that inside of you. Well, there's nothing inside of me, oh God, that you need to fix. I'm the potter, you're the clay. Get your hands off of it. Quit trying to impress me. Let me fix it. You know what that takes? Humility. You know what they didn't have? Humility. They exalted. and they exalted the outside over the inside. God is not impressed with the outside. Now, what will happen if you let God change those things inside of you that are not right with Him? Through the words of God, through the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of your life, through the presence of Jesus Christ in your life, if you will let Him change those things, the outside will take care of itself. It will get clean. And when it does, it'll be cleaned right. It won't just look right, it will be right. Inside out. But listen, a Pharisee says, no, keep your hands off. I'm good enough as I am. And we're not. The inside needs to change. So while we're preaching on this thing about Pharisees, you know, you were like, okay, good, you can talk about the religions because they didn't have anything to do with me proselyting anybody. And I felt pretty good about, you know, the temporal over the eternal because we're exalted. And well, you're not feeling so good about this section. Shouldn't be anyway. Because God sees things, you know, how does the Lord put it? He puts it like this. Here's a good example. Puts it like this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Yeah, He's not interested in whether you think what you're doing is right or not. He's only interested in whether He thinks what you're doing is right or not. And if it's not, He wants it changed. And the Pharisees weren't willing to change it. And as children of God, we shouldn't be Pharisees. We should say, you're right, Lord, absolutely right. Let's change it. I'm going to yield to your word. I'm going to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to yield to the Spirit of God. I'm going to let you make me what you want me to be. Have you ever done anything with artwork? I mean, I don't mean trying to make it. I took two art classes. You have to do electives while you're in college, right? I took two art classes while I was in there. One of them was sketching. That was kind of interesting. You look at a building, you know, and you try to... anyway. The other one was abstract art. That was the craziest class. Man, I still don't know to this day what we were doing in there. But anyway, one of the things we were supposed to do is take a piece of paper and take charcoal. And what we were going to do is deal with the negative space and some stuff that was shaded in and the white space. So do something. And the teacher started on that part of the classroom and he's going up and down to see what people are doing. Well, they tell you, put two pieces of paper down, one underneath the other one, so that any imperfections in the table that you're working on don't come through as you rub the chalk. So I'm, and then, you know, rubbing this, boy, I got it all over my hands and my feet, and it just, you know, and he's coming down this way, and now he's going to turn, he's coming this way, and I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, this is junk. There is absolutely no way. And I'm blowing and rubbing and blowing and rubbing. And he turns and he's coming up and he's critiquing everything he sees. And I'm like, oh, no. I just took my piece of paper and watered it up, threw it under my desk at just about the time he came there. And he looked at where all that dust had gathered on the piece of paper under what I was doing. And he held the thing up and he goes, this is absolutely incredible. Look at this. And he's... And I knew then my parents had wasted a lot of money on that class. So anyway, I just had to tell you that story because it's funny. But in art, there's an artist who creates, you know, a painting that is an original and it's absolutely beautiful. You know what some people will do? They will paint that painting. That, you know what that painting is? It's an imitation of the original. And you know what the difference is between those two? Millions of dollars. Because one of them is the real deal by the artist and the other one is a fake by an imitator. You know what a Pharisee is? A Pharisee is a fake by an imitator. God is looking for original work. He wants to see His hand of change in you, not your imitation of what you think He wants you to look like. And that's the difference between a Pharisee and the real McCoy. Finally this, in Matthew chapter 23, look at verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which kill the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? How do you think they got along? People says, oh, you know, Jesus, he was meek and mild and lowly and loved everybody. We just got to love. Well, his love for the Pharisees was a whole lot different than it was for the disciples. You serpents, you vipers. Yowie, zowie. What love. That must be agape love right there. Wow. You know, that's something else, man. Now listen, if Jesus Christ walked in here and put his finger on you, and you're not a Pharisee, and he put his finger on your nose, he said, you serpent, you viper. You know what you do? You humble yourself and say, Lord, I am so sorry. I didn't intend to be that. I am rebuked, I am reproved, change me. If you're a Pharisee and he came in here and put his finger on your nose, he said, you serpent, you viper, you'd say, who do you think you are calling me that? Well, that's what he's calling you right now. If you are one, you say, well, what would it be? That's a person who sat through, listened to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ at some point in your life and turned him down. You see in verse 33, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You know what a Pharisee is? A person who exalts himself above God. You're a Pharisee if you exalt yourself above God. So you go and you teach, like preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand, I'm looking around here at people who already know how to be saved, most of you. Probably all saved, but maybe there's somebody in here today that is not saved. Listen to me, Jesus Christ died on the cross with your sins in his body to pay for your sins because you are a sinner who needs a Savior. He allowed his Father to send him into hell, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. He is sitting at the right hand of God, the Father, right now, praying for you to receive him as your Savior. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm preaching as a mouthpiece for him who's praying at the right hand of God, giving you the words of God that you are a sinner and have come short of the glory of God and you need to be saved. Marvel not that I say unto you, must be born again so that you can leave here as a child of God and you say, who does that preacher think he is to talk to me that way? I'm good enough the way I am. I don't need that. You have just exalted yourself above God. You are a serpent. You are a viper. And how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? Say, well, you shouldn't talk to me that way. Well, I'll tell you what, if it rattled your cage enough to say, I got to go do something about this, you're going to thank God somebody pointed that out to you. But if you're a Pharisee, you'll just walk out of here and say, somebody ought to shut that preacher up. My wife's the only one that can talk to me that way. And she doesn't, most of the time. How'd you take that? Now, you guys that are in here saved didn't bother you a bit, did it? But you're in here without Jesus Christ, that hurts your feelings. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings or offend you. Meant to get your attention. Just like Jesus Christ was trying to do to them. Do you know some of those Pharisees got saved? You read over there in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, some of those guys got saved. And you could be saved here today, too, and walk out of here and not be a religious pretender anymore. You can be the real deal. You can be saved and in the body of Christ. Boy, what a great thing that'd be. You say, well, I don't know how. In a minute, I'm going to offer an invitation. Our associate pastor is going to stand up in the back of the church. And if you're not saved, I'll just ask you, listen, if you want to know how to be saved, I'm not saying that you got to do anything about it. You just want to hear it. He'll take you back there to his office. And in just a matter of minutes, he'll show you the gospel. And then you can decide for yourself whether you want to take Jesus Christ up on his offer or not. And my prayer is that you would. You should. Otherwise, you're just going to walk out of here and pretend like you're somebody that's in the family of God when you're not. That's a viper. That's a serpent. So what is a Pharisee? A Pharisee is somebody that exalts men above God, more concerned about what we think about you than what God thinks about you. Not good. If that's your problem, you need to change that. A Pharisee, you exalt yourself above your brethren. You're not better than we are, and we're not better than you are. We are brethren. You exalt your religion above God's kingdom. Listen, what you believe and practice is not important, more important than what God said. You need to get off of that and realize you follow what he said, not what you want other people to believe, because that's the way you convert them to your way of thinking. You exalt the temporal over the eternal. Let me tell you, what's seen around here is not nearly as important as what you can't see, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of these words. This is really important for us. You exalt the outside over the inside. God knows. God knows. And if he pointed out something to you today, you need to let him go to work on that and change that right now. And finally, you exalt yourself above God because you think you're all right to get to heaven without him. Boy, that's a terrible thing. You know, I've had people tell me that. I don't need that. I believe I'm fine. Well, you're going to find out you're wrong. Not because I said so, because he said so. You can't escape the damnation of hell apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you're no exception. You got to take him. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to see the words of God in writing today. And I pray, Heavenly Father, you will help us with these matters. They are so vitally, vitally important to our lives. I have struggled with these things. And so I look at these things today and I'm relieved, Father, because you had to teach me. It doesn't make a difference what other people think. And don't think that I'm convinced by your outside. I know what's on the inside. Father, those were life-changing discoveries for me in this passage of Scripture. And I appreciate so much you taking me to the woodshed on them and showing me in the Bible how these things needed to change in my life and how you've changed and been changing those things. I pray for these that are gathered here, you'll do the same thing. Now, while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, are you here today without Christ? How many of you here today are saved? Raise your hand up real quick. Put it right back. How many of you say, put your hand right back down? You know it. All right. Now, how about, maybe you couldn't raise your hand. I couldn't see everybody. If you couldn't raise your hand, you know what? You are at least an honest person. You didn't raise your hand and pretend, hey, I want you to think I'm saved when you're not. You couldn't raise your hand. What's the problem there? Well, the problem is you're not saved. And a person without Jesus Christ is facing the damnation of hell, and the only remedy is Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here today that'd like to change that? Raise your hand right now and say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand because I was saved, but I'll raise my hand right now. I want Randy to show me the gospel so I can make a decision whether to be saved or not. If you're here today without Christ and you want him, raise your hand now. Randy's looking in the back so he can see and he'll know to wait for you during the invitation. Anybody like that? Okay. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand in here, but you found out today there's an area of your life that's hypocritical with the Lord. You going to change that? You found out today in the preaching of the Word of God there's an area of your life in hypocrisy and the Lord showed it to you. Are you going to change that? You know, you really need to work that out with the Lord today. You need to begin working on that and then let him begin to make those changes in your life. He shows us these things to preach for the edification of the saints, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Make those changes. Father, thank you so much for what you've shown us in the Scripture. Help us to live by these things faithfully for Jesus' sake. Amen.